Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Back here during Old School, brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese. The voice you just heard last segment was that of the Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman, number 56, number 44. Jay's two favorite numbers. I'll be holding down the fort here for the next 25, 26 minutes or so. Top of the hour, Harrison Arons will be in, and then our coverage of the national championship game between UConn and Purdue hits your airwaves at 6:30. Any local shows we have tonight will still be streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Thanks to Sartor Hamann Jewelers for that. Sartor Hamann Jewelers also sponsors our text line, 402-464-5685. And before the top of the hour, I asked, who's the most hateable player in college basketball right now? Some of you took that to mean who has the most punchable face. 2396, you never followed up. Why is John Shire's face punchable? I need to know your rationale for that if you're still listening. Couple more responses to get to here. Downtown Scott says Barnheiser. Assuming that you mean Brooks Barnheiser of Northwestern, who is a better player than I want to give him credit for, has that kind of Northwestern look to him. Like, if you picture just a Northwestern player, Brooks Barnheiser comes to mind. But don't you have to be, like, really good to be hateable or have a punchable face? Like, Brooks Barnheiser's fine. He's pretty good. But man, I don't know if he's good enough to get the punchable moniker. That's just me. 4850, Juwan Howard. Okay, Juwan is a fascinating case because I don't want to believe that the Juwan Howard we've seen in public is the Juwan Howard that he wants to be, if that makes sense. The Athletic did a really good profile on Juwan Howard not too long ago, and Juwan, you know, admitted that he kind of lost control of himself. He didn't know what it was he was doing. Like, he said he felt, you know, like he was on the defensive against Joe Krabbenhoft, struck him first. He was remorseful. Extremely remorseful, said, yeah, there's no way I should have done that. He didn't strike me. He didn't come after me. It was just words I initiated. Juwan took full responsibility for that incident. You look at the strength coach, that Sanderson, I believe his name is, that ended up leaving Michigan. That dispute, I think, got blown up, you know, to more than it needed to be. I think Juwan gets a little bit worse of a rap because it seems like, you know, before Michigan, pretty universally respected guy. I mean, longtime NBA stalwart, riding the bench for the Heat as a mentor for a lot of years. Juwan Howard's going to find his way back into coaching. But the other part of this that I think amplifies the issues Juwan was having, especially this year, is he himself admitted that he got stuck in an alpha male sort of mentality, where his doctors told him to rest for 6 to 12 weeks after his heart surgery. Like, he had a blood clot that was saving his life, that was saving an aortic aneurysm from rupturing. So he had open heart surgery before the year. Phil Martelli took over in the interim role. Juwan Howard came back within a month. It might have even been just a couple weeks. But Juwan Howard made such a point to prove himself, almost put too big of a chip on his shoulder in some regards, and acted up to that chip instead of, you know, maybe reading the room a little bit better and trying to understand that, hey, man, you just had heart surgery. It's okay. Or, hey, man, not everything is an attack or an affront on you. So I think the best is still to come for Juwan Howard as a coach. But some of his antics were definitely, you know, I can see where you're getting that from. Dave says, LeBron, well, good thing we're talking about college basketball here, Dave. Sorry if that wasn't clear. LeBron never played college basketball, so sorry about that. Insightful Dude says, Bronny is pretty easy to hate. Really? Bronny? LeBron James Jr.? Nah, I can't go there. He is a good player. He's not his dad. Right? We had that conversation with Alabama football. Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. He's not Nick Saban. Bronny James is going to be a good player. He's not his dad. I think Bronny has handled the spotlight really well. He's not constantly in the news for being obnoxious or being a brat. He's a quieter kid. He's humble. He's kept his head down and he worked. A lot has been made about Bronny and his journey and his time, but I don't think that's self-promotion from him. I don't think that's self-promotion from USC. I think that's just media saying, hey, LeBron James's son is playing college basketball. We got to cover this kid. So I disagree on Bronny. Now, not to say he can't, you know, think a little higher of himself with wherever he ends up in the transfer portal. But as of now, I'm not mad at Bronny. I don't think all the coverage is from him. You know, I don't think he's done anything particularly noteworthy to draw attention to himself other than be LeBron James's son. Pretty good player. I can see the outline for more, but I disagree on hating Bronny. I think let's ease up on the young man. And 7449 says Caitlin Clark is pretty hateable. Yeah, been plenty of discourse there on that one. Let's bring it back home here to Nebraska men's basketball really quickly. The Huskers did pick up a transfer portal addition today. That's right, Husker fans. There's one in the fold joining Fred Hoiberg and his squad. The player is Andrew Morgan. He's a post from North Dakota State, 6'10", 235. Last time Nebraska got a transfer from North Dakota State just a couple years ago, being Sam Griesel. The Lincoln East product comes back home to play his final year of college eligibility out in Husker Red. Andrew Morgan is from Minnesota. Obviously made his way to North Dakota State to start his career. When he entered the portal, I was hearing conflicting reports that Nebraska was tops on his list and that Minnesota was tops on his list. I always considered him a slight Minnesota lean, but I think this is a pretty darn good pickup for Nebraska. So last year, 23-24 season, he made the All-Summit League team. He averaged 12.9 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist per game. Shot 56% from the floor, 36% from three, and 70% at the free throw line. I only watched a few minutes of his highlights. Wasn't used the same way at North Dakota State as he will be at Nebraska. But in what he was asked to do, lower volume role for the Bison, he was pretty good. The best explanation I have for him after, again, just those few minutes of watching film, the best comparison, I should say, I'm going to say he's that nice middle ground between Rink Mast and Josiah Alec. I think Rink Mast is a better, more consistent shooter than Andrew Morgan is. Definitely higher volume. Morgan only took about 1 3 per game, but connected again to that 36.4% mark. So capable shooter, capable pick and pop big. We saw Nebraska do that some with Rink Mast. He rolled to the basket a lot more than I think we saw Rink Mast do consistently. Rink Mast would either get the ball on the block or the high post, really. High pick and roll and pop out. We didn't really see much of a...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Roll threat from Nebraska, but North Dakota State did use Andrew Morgan on the roll. Pretty good finisher, not elite finisher at the rim by any means, but he goes up with bad intentions. And that's important. That's a different attitude than I think we've seen from Nebraska bigs and really just Nebraska players in general, is driving to the rim, trying to finish. And some of you out there might be raising your eyebrows. What do you mean? Doesn't everyone want to, you know, finish the layup or dunk when they go to the rim? They'll tell you that, but their actions can paint a different story. Nebraska recently has had so many guys that are smooth. They can get up, they can dunk, that, you know, especially if they have an open lane, can do it. Andrew Morgan took off through traffic with bad intentions, trying to dunk on people, but he has that kind of Juwan Gary quality to him where he can go so violently and aggressively at the rim and yet still have the body control and the touch to finish pretty softly. So I think Andrew Morgan can bring just a little bit of an edge to Nebraska, right? What's the difference between a dunk and a layup? They're both 2 points. Well, nifty finishes are cool, but Nebraska's kind of lacked that authoritative, hey, I just dunked on you. Hey, I just grabbed a rebound between two of you and I elevated over you and dunked on you for 2 points. I really think Nebraska's been missing that. And not that Andrew Morgan is the most athletic guy in the world, but I think he's maybe a step down from Josiah Alek and a step up from Rink Mass in terms of, you know, vertical leaping ability. I think he's a pretty good middle ground in rebounding as well. He's capable. He's solid. Not a guy that you trust to just patrol the glass alone, but I think he fits the team rebounding kind of ethos Nebraska's going for. Positional defender. He'll play the four, probably the five as well. Not the passer that Rink Mast is, but also smoother, I think, in the post and with his moves than Josiah Alek is. So I think this is a nice little pickup for Nebraska. Does it help in terms of raising the ceiling? Eh. Remains to be seen. This is, in my estimation right now, as we sit here on April 8th, just, you know, a handful of hours removed from his commitment to join Nebraska out of the transfer portal, this feels par for the course. It really does. Not a good thing, not a bad thing, right? It's just, this is the type of player that Fred Hoiberg and his staff have chosen to target here, you know, in the last few years, especially out of the transfer portal and in recruiting. So I think that's just a solid, you know, 7 out of 10 pickup. He'll play some key roles. He'll win some games. He won't make a difference in others. Nebraska ball fan on the text line, thanks for chiming in. Do you think Nebraska will still go after Farrell Payne after getting this commitment? I don't know. I can give you the argument for it and the argument against it. So the argument for it is that Nebraska still needs a true enforcer. I don't know how great Farrell Payne is on defense, but he's a better rim protector than I think Nebraska has had on a consistent basis recently. If Nebraska were to go get him, I think that would mean the guards would be able to be a little more aggressive on the perimeter, pressure the ball a little more because you do have a physical presence in there, a great rebounder. He's a little limited, though, and I mean that respectfully because what he does, he's pretty good at, but I don't think Farrell Payne has an elite skill, and he's not necessarily versatile. He's not a pick-and-pop big man. He can guard okay on the perimeter, but you still don't feel great about it. I think Farrell Payne is a very Big Ten style big that would help Nebraska get through the grind of a Big Ten regular season. But again, I don't know if that's necessarily a ceiling raiser of a player. If Nebraska is still going to go after a, you know, traditional center, Cliff Amori is tops on my list. Absolutely. I go get Cliff Amori 8 days out of seven, 11 times out of 10 before Farrell Payne. Amori's a walking double-double. Now, plays with motor. They're similar, but Amori's a little more athletic. Maybe not as muscle-bound as Payne is, but plenty strong enough. I just like Amori's game a little bit better. Even if he's limited, I think there's just a little bit more he can do and offer Nebraska. So I'm not mad if Nebraska continues to remain in contact with Farrell Payne, but I really hope they're talking to Cliff Amori before they're talking to Farrell Payne. Other thing I want to get to on the college basketball front before our last segment of the show. So Evan Miyakawa on Twitter at Evan Mia. Really interesting Twitter account. A lot of data, a lot of numbers for those of you who want to sink your teeth into college basketball. Tweeted this out today. His big stat is kill shots in college basketball. What is that? It's a 10-0 run by a team. So what teams go on 10-0 runs and what teams allow 10-0 runs. If you look at the NCAA tournament teams, Northwestern, Texas Tech, South Carolina, North Carolina State allowed a lot of 10-0 runs without scoring many themselves. Teams that both went on and allowed a lot of 10-0 runs, Alabama, James Madison, Texas, TCU, Colorado. Dependable teams, not very streaky, not a lot of 10-0 runs, Duke, Wisconsin, Clemson, Tennessee's right down there, Florida, Mississippi State. Nebraska's kind of right in the middle of all of this, goes on its fair share, allows its fair share of 10-0 runs. But the strongest teams are the ones that go on the most 10-0 runs and allow the fewest 10-0 runs. Team that was best at that this year was Houston. We know they got bounced by Duke. Other teams there include UConn, who's playing tonight. that goes on a lot of 10-0 runs, doesn't allow many themselves, and Purdue somewhere in the middle. Purdue definitely goes on more 10-0 scoring runs than it allows, but Purdue, at least according to the NCAA tournament field, goes on a barely above average number of 10-0 runs. So here's this from Evan Miyakawa. Purdue is now the least likely team in the country to surrender a kill shot, a 10-0 run. Purdue has not given up a 10-0 run since February 15th. That's darn near 2 months ago now that Purdue hasn't been outscored 10-0 over any stretch of time. That's incredible for a team that's pretty solid defensively, but it doesn't scream elite. Now here's the flip side of that stat. UConn, since February 15th, has gone on 12 10-0 runs, recorded 12 kill shots. That's pretty darn good. Not tops in the country, but definitely up there. We know basketball is a game of runs. Strickey said it. Other people with basketball minds better than mine have said it. Basketball is a game of runs. Who manages them the best? Purdue hasn't given up 10-0 runs. UConn goes on 10-0 runs, among the best in the country. That's another little statistical matchup to watch tonight. We'll send you over to NCAA tournament pregame coverage starting at 6:30 here on our radio airwaves. Our local programming and content will remain on the streams all night. One segment to go here during Old School. I'm Austin Norman. Come right back.
You're listening to Old School with DP and J. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.